Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Ben Hussung. He is advisor for vocation and career development at Boyce College, which is the college at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He counsels students in discerning their career and ministry ambitions. He works to prepare them for pursuing their careers, and he connects them with opportunities both during and after college. Now, I am especially fond of Boyce College because two of my sons went to Boyce, and several of our ranch graduates went to Boyce. And so I am delighted to have him on the broadcast with us today. Ben, welcome.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Now, talk with us a little bit, first of all, about the college. I don't want to just do a promo for the college, but I do at least want people to have an idea of who we're talking with and what it's about. Boyce College is not a typical liberal arts college, is it?
That's right, yeah. So at Boyce, Boyce has been around for almost 20 years now, and it has grown exponentially really in the last several years. It's been getting a lot bigger. We've been expanding programs, but really the central facet of Boyce is that we're centering the education that we're giving at Boyce on a comprehensive Christian worldview. So all of our courses are centered on being in Scripture. All of our professors are coming from the same stance of holding to the inerrancy of Scripture and loving the Lord and really teaching to the end of getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so that's what we're trying to instill into our students. We're not, just trying to feed them intellectual food, but also spiritual food.
Now, when my sons went there, basically admission was open to those who felt a call to ministry.
Yeah.
Is that still the case?
So Boyce has expanded quite a bit. So we're no longer only offering programs for people who are pursuing like full-time vocational pastoral ministry or missions ministry. Mm-hmm. We actually, we still have those traditional programs. We have a five-year bachelor's to MDiv program that's really popular. But then we also have like a teacher education program, a humanities program, a business administration program, and we actually have a new program that's a philosophy, politics, and economics program. Mm-hmm. A lot of those students are going into like law and things like that. Mm-hmm. So Boyce has really broadened so that you don't have to, feel a clear call to pastoral ministry or missions ministry or counseling ministry, something like that, to come. We want to prepare students to enter really a lot of different vocations and careers so that we can most effectively take the gospel to every facet of society.
Good. Take it into the workplace.
That's right.
All right. Well, now, as your folks are looking for placement and as they are finding places to serve the Lord after leaving Boyce, what are they running into? If you come out of a place where you have been grounded in biblical truth, what do you find when you try and get a job? Are employers open to folks who are going to come in with an absolutist view when it comes to truth?
Yeah, so I would say a couple things. I think that a lot of times when I think of the challenges that face Christians entering the workplace, there definitely are challenges, but I also, in a lot of ways, see the challenges as our biggest gospel opportunities. And so, of course, there are challenges, if you hold to the idea of absolute truth and if you believe Scripture deeply, there are big issues that you run into that really strike a different chord to our more secular society today. I will say, though, that there are also things in from our Christian worldview that help our students who are entering the workplace. So just a couple things off the top of my head, you know, a lot of the employers that I speak to, one thing that they constantly say is, you know, I can teach a student to do what we do here, but I can't teach them to have character and integrity and
Amen.
Work ethic.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's so true. And so what happens is we have a lot of students, you know, and a lot of unbelievers go into the workforce, and especially in our society today, we live in a society of distraction, of constant, you know, flitting from Facebook to Twitter, to Instagram, all these things. We can't focus. But at Boyce, we're trying to produce students that can think deeply, who can have a strong work ethic, who take pride in, you know, working for the Lord and having deep integrity and character that is biblical and comprehensive. And so when you have a student like that, I find that a lot of my employers I speak to who are not Christians, they are much more concerned with how someone is able to learn their job and produce quickly and effectively and mm-hmm. with integrity mm-hmm. Than they are about, you know, perhaps what they believe on particular issues.
Yeah.
And so, and therein lies, I think, a huge opportunity for our students entering the workplace, is that if you can get a job somewhere, you know, for example, I worked in online ed before I was here, and I was in a pretty small minority of Christians at the company.
Yeah.
And if you have that opportunity through the way you work, through the way you hold yourself, people understand that you're different. You do well in your job. Your superiors understand that you're different, that you do well in your job. But it doesn't just stop there. You also, you know, people see you. They look up to you. They want to have a relationship with you because you're doing well in your job. And that's the point where then you can take that relationship and leverage it to share the word of God with people. And that's our hope at Boyce. You know, we want to produce students, whether they're going into nonprofit ministry, whether they're going into the secular workplace, whether they're teaching in schools, whether they're going overseas, whether they're working in churches, we want them to be a light for the gospel. And so I think that there's just a lot of opportunity, as our society, really enters darkness more and more, for us to be a more effective light.
Well, I would have to say amen to that. Mm-hmm. When across the years, I've known three individuals at least who were fired by their employers because they mm-hmm. wouldn't lie. Mm-hmm. In each case, the employer demanded that they engage in a particular lie. In one mm-hmm. case, it was pretending that an order contained more items than it actually did because the mm-hmm. the owner of the business wanted to be able to skim profits that way. In another yeah. case, it was my dad, who was a graduate of Moody Bible Institute, telling a customer, when asked a direct question, is this bread really fresh? He was delivering bread to work his way through Moody. And they said, is this bread really fresh? And my dad said, well, it says baked fresh every day, but that doesn't mean that what you get is necessarily baked today. And by the time he got back from his delivery route, his boss was waiting there to fire him. Mm-hmm. And my dad said, sir, do you really want an employee working for you who's dishonest? And the man said, well, no. And dad said, well, I can't lie. I didn't volunteer the information. She asked me a direct question. And the man said, yeah. yes, but we've built our reputation on the fact that we bake fresh bread every day and everybody gets fresh bread. And dad said, yes, sir, but you know that you take some of the loaves at the end of the day and put them in new wrappers the next day and send them out. Mm. And the man said, well, we have to in order to stay in business. And dad said, well, if you want me to work for you, I want the job. This was during the wow. Depression, by the way, when wow. jobs were scarce. He said, if yeah. you want me to work for you, I want the job. But if you want me to lie for you, I can't do it. And the man said, "Oh, Mr. Wood, you come on back." So Dad got his job back. And same thing happened to Stuart Briscoe in banking. He was asked by his boss to lie about a matter, and he absolutely refused. And the boss was furious and fired him. And Stuart said, "Sir, do you really want people working in your bank who are not trustworthy?" And the banker thought about it and said, "Okay, you can stay." So sometimes you not only have to send folks out with the clear conviction of, you know, living a life of integrity, because that's what God demands, but they've got to be ready to suffer for it. Another friend of mine, the one who was whose boss was wanting to skim inventory, was fired and came to see me, and he said, "You know, I tried to talk with him about the importance of honesty, and he wouldn't hear of it." And he said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Well, what would you like to do?" He said, "What I'd really like to do is start my own company." Well, he did, and God blessed. And it isn't a fact that if you do what the Lord says, you'll never suffer for it. Jesus says if you do what God says, you will suffer for it, but you'll also be blessed for it. There will be blessings, multiplied blessings in this life and in the world to come, and also persecution, Jesus says. So as you send folks out, the importance of integrity obviously is there. Having a good work ethic is there. You mentioned also you want them to use those opportunities that arise in the workplace as a door to share the gospel. What would you advise folks? And again, you've worked in a secular environment before you were where you are now. What would you advise folks who are trying to discern, is this an opportunity where I need to share right now while we're at work, or do I need to say to this person, "Wow, I'd love to take you to lunch. I'd love to talk with you after work about that," so that they aren't accused by their employer of getting paid to do evangelism on the job?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I would start by saying one caveat, and that is, you know, a lot of it depends on what type of society you're living in. So a lot of our students, you know, want to move overseas, and our business administration program is very much geared toward students who want to do business as missions. So they're wanting to, you know, start companies in major cities around the world to take the gospel. And right off the bat, many other societies are much more open to spiritual conversations, whether in the workplace or just personally.
Yeah.
Now, we're in the United States, and of course that is much more taboo here. Not many people openly want to talk about spiritual things. But, I mean, overall, you know, it's hard to give sort of a standard answer on a question like that. I would say so much of that comes down to discernment of where your relationship is with the person, what your relationship is with your boss, and what type of a work environment you're living in. You know, so some companies may have, you know, maybe a sort of a looser environment where people talk about personal issues all the time. And that could be a huge blessing for you, because if someone, you know, comes to you with a personal issue, then you can answer personally, which if you're a Christian, if your hope is in Christ, then your personal answer for others' hardships is Jesus, right? In other workplaces, you know, where it may be a little tighter, you're exactly right. The route may be to try and, you know, enter that person's life on a more personal level outside of the workplace. So not just letting your relationship with them be 9 to 5, but if you can, you know, maybe start going to lunch with them once a month, once a week, and then, you know, inviting them to your home. Those are the things that build bridges so that that person doesn't just see you as a colleague, but, you know, you're also their confidant, you're their friend, and someone who, once they realize how important Jesus is to you, you know, hopefully that will be an aroma of the gospel to them.
Amen. And the fact is, God is able to open doors so that no one can shut them.
That's right.
So if we are working ultimately for Him, and I would urge you, all of our listeners, whatever you do for a living, whether you are working at home or whether you are driving a big rig down the highway right now or whether you are looking forward to going back tomorrow to work at the pharmacy, wherever you may be, you need to recognize that ultimately you work for God. And that, by the way, has been a tremendous help to me during my years in the pastorate, because there are a lot of pastors who think that they work for the congregation. And if you do that, you'll end up compromising your ministry. You're not going to share the truth from God's word fearlessly. Mm-hmm. You're going to say what you think you need to in order to keep your pension. Don't go there, folks. Whatever you do for a living, ultimately, you work for God, and this other thing you're doing is a means of support. It's a means of serving Him by serving other people. But don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that God is something on the side, and my real boss is this guy who's in that glass
room. And you know that
room.
That's something that that we really emphasize, especially in our programs. You know, we have a lot of students. One of the difficulties of doing what I do at a school like Boyce is that we have some programs that are, you know, full-time vocational ministry, pastoral ministry, counseling ministry, or like missions ministry, people who maybe want to be doing that time, that kind of thing full-time, and that be, you know, how they're supported. And then we have other students who don't want to necessarily be working in a church or, you know, paid by a missions organization, that kind of thing. They want to be in the secular workplace or maybe teaching, doing all kinds of things. The difficulty is helping students understand that none of those vocations is a higher calling. Those are all God-given vocations where students have the opportunity to serve God and to love others. And so whether you're pastoring a church or whether you're an accountant at an accounting firm or whether you're teaching kindergartners to read, you're serving God and you're loving people in an effective way that God has given you. And all of those are effective ways to share the gospel with people. And so we don't want students to think, you know, oh, I'm going to graduate, I'm going to become an accountant so that I can do ministry when I'm not in the workplace. It's just a means of providing for my family. We want our students to see that their life is a comprehensive whole and that you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, and you're to be proclaiming the gospel in every part of your being, really. And that includes the way you work, that includes where you work, it includes how you're speaking with people, what you're speaking to people, and how you're producing in the workplace, whether that's a church, a business, or a school.
Amen. Amen. I agree. Now, you, while filling this role at Boyce, are also going to school yourself. You're getting an MDiv right now at Southern Seminary, where my friend Al Mohler is president. He's the big cheese over all this stuff there, including Boyce College. How did you end up at Southern Seminary?
Sure. So I grew up in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and went to Western Kentucky University. I studied religion and creative writing there. And then after that, I spent a little bit of time in Kenya with the IMB.
Great.
And right after that, I moved up to Southern Seminary. I felt a clear call to full-time vocational ministry since about high school. And so I moved up to Southern. I was married shortly after that, and I started going to school at Southern. My wife and I, we would love eventually to be working overseas. I plan, after my master's, I've got about a year left, plan on pursuing my PhD here at Southern, and then hopefully moving overseas to help train pastors.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I know that God has done miraculous things there at Southern Seminary. I'm very thankful for that. I remember when Al first went up there to take that position, and it was definitely a step of faith on his part, a step of obedience, even though he had an extensive background there and had worked under the a previous administration, he was walking into an environment that turned hostile pretty quickly. because, again, he approached things with the attitude that we've got to work with integrity. If you sign a statement of faith and say this is what we believe, that needs to be what you believe. And if you say this is what we're going to teach, that needs to be what you teach. Not everybody at Southern at that time shared that view. And so I am, for those who are listening today who are unfamiliar with the history of Southern Seminary, there's a wonderful volume by another friend of mine, Greg Wills, which gives the history of the seminary. And believe it or not, even though it's quite a scholarly tome, it reads very well. Greg is one of the professors. I think he's dean there now. And you can get the history of Southern Seminary, which is not boring. It's actually interesting. But in any case, I'm delighted that they are still attracting folks like my guest today. Ben, in your role there, you're counseling students about vocation and career development. You are getting your MDiv, and you're married and have a child on the way, I understand.
That's right. Very soon.
Due in February. I think that's right. I think that's a wonderful thing. You've already named him. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's right.
And we listed our son, our second son, on the U.S. Census back in 1980, because even though he hadn't been born yet, he was already alive. And we thought the federal government needed to remember that children in the womb are alive. And so we listed his name and his projected birth date. And we just about got the birth date right. I think we were off by a day or two. But that's okay. I don't know what the census workers did with that when they got the form. But we filled it out according to what we believed was a biblical worldview. So I wish you and your family all the best. I hope that the students there at Boyce, I've had the privilege of speaking there in the past. I hope the students at Boyce will continue to turn out into this world armed with the gospel and filled with the Holy Spirit and eager to do, as you said, whatever they do, accounting or kindergarten teacher or whatever it might be, but prepared to do that on mission for Jesus Christ, because it's not my job's over here and then my life with God is over here. It is supposed to be an integrated whole. And I hope our listeners will pray for young folks who are in these various Christian schools seeking to be prepared for a life of ministry. The enemy obviously targets them and seeks to discourage and lead them astray. And we want to pray that God will really bless them and use them for his glory. Ben, how can we pray for you apart from the safe arrival of your son, James?
I would love prayers just for my position here. You know, there's a lot of weight to helping students figure out what to do with their lives. And it's definitely something, you know, I think that God has given me a unique opportunity to help speak into students' lives, to help them to see how they can serve him and how they can take the gospel wherever God would have them take it. And so I want to, you know, effectively and efficiently help students understand those things and help connect students to opportunities where they will be able to be effective for Christ. So that would be, you know, my main prayer that I would ask you, that you would help me to really, in a similar way I'm trying to teach my students to do, to be effective where God has placed me.
Amen. We'll do that, and I hope you will get real familiar with our ministry here in Tennessee and send a bunch of Boyce students down here to be a part of our mentoring program.
That's right. That's what I'm hoping.
We've got a wonderful, wonderful ministry. Not only through those young adults who mentor here, but to those young adults who mentor here. I was just talking with one of our former mentors moments ago before this interview, who was just expressing gratitude for what she had experienced during her time here. And we need men and women who are ready to come and serve God in this place. So you pray for us, we'll pray for you. And God bless you. Thanks for coming on the broadcast today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.